Now is the time is about the first and biggest rebellion that there's ever been in this country, the rebellion of the people. And it's an enormous event, the first big event after the Norman conquest in 1066. It took a long time to mature, but then the Norman conquest was a very suppressive, oppressive thing, and people were ground down, especially English people were ground down. And so it has massive significance for me.
And who were the two key players?
Well, I think the key player on the side of the rebels was probably shared between Walter Tyler, the military leader who'd fought in France, and John Ball, the preacher, the radical preacher who inspired it and changed it from being a rebellion about tax, which is what it started as, a rebellion against the poll tax, into a mission to change the entire way the country was governed, to uproot it radically. And on the king's side, it would be the king himself, but much more importantly, his mother, Princess Joan, is a big figure in the book. I think she's the cleverest royal woman in our history, next to Elizabeth I. And she was guiding him and watching over events. She was immensely rich. She had her own diplomatic service. She was an extraordinary woman altogether. So that's the gist of it, yes.
When did your love of history begin?
I think it began when I was a kid, like most things do for people. I lived in a place called Council House Yard. We lived in a council house, and the library was in the corner. And I was fed boys' histories. I remember reading tales of Robin Hood again and again and again. Oddly enough, this book is set in the time of Robin Hood. And actually, John Ball, the preacher, was an outlaw. He was a preacher, but he was a radical preacher, so he was an outlaw. And reading that, and I've always liked reading books of history and as well as novels. Those are the two things that I've been keen on. I just kept it up and read history at school, at university, and on it goes.
It's been a rich year, of course, in Lincolnshire for everyone involved in the 800th anniversary of the sealing of Magna Carta, hasn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
And just how special for you personally to be coming to the county?
Well, I like Lincoln. You can't but like Lincoln. I mean, the cathedral is awesome. You go in that cathedral and you think, wow. And it's the whole force of the strength of the time of Christianity. It's meant to intimidate you. It's meant to fill you with awe. But at the same time, there's a sort of majesticness about it, which is wonderful. Last time I was there, I always try to get there in the cathedral, to listen to choral evensong. Last time it was beautifully sung, and as usual, and as often happens, the congregation were fewer in number than the choir, but the choir was magnificent.
It's been a busy year for you as well, with your Radio 4 series as well.
Yeah, the Radio 4 series, and then In Our Time, and then the South Bank show on Sky Arts, and completing this book, one thing and another, yes. Yeah, Magna Carta has been the big thing in generally, though. I mean, it was an astonishing, astonishing event. And that was the beginning, really, of what bled into In Our Time. It was the idea got into people's minds that you could take power from tyrants, which is what they did with John. They shifted it a bit to the barons, and then the people of England, who hadn't spoken, as it were, they wanted privilege, they wanted liberty. And it started, the thing that I've written about started a sort of undercurrent of striving for liberty that's been in our history ever since. People want more control. They want more liberties more than control. They want freedoms. And it's in our language. You can't do that to me. I can say what I want. It's part of the sort of English character, which is very rarely is in other countries to the extent it is here. And this great eruption in 1381, I think, was the first and dramatic evidence of it.
Melvin, let me just bring you back to the South Bank show. Very much a big part of your life for so long.
Yes, it was. I started it in 1977, preparing it. We came in there at the beginning of 78 in ITV. And ITV, the great thing was that we challenged the BBC on being a high-profile arts program. We did 26 a year then, but I was determined from the beginning to do Eric Clapton and Paul McCartney with as much respect as I did Von Karajan or David Hockney, and go across the spectrum and to change the idea of the arts from being a pyramid, which it was when I was a boy, to being a rainbow, where things of quality covered the territory, whatever area they were in, where you could have high-quality popular music as well as high-quality classical music. Sometimes the popular music actually has endured longer and been better. So that was a great opportunity to do. That was almost like a laboratory. And we got a big following from people who saw what we were doing. You saw that the democratization of the arts was what they wanted. It was in the sort of skin of people at that time. And after 4 or 5 years, ITV and I parted. I came almost immediately to Sky Arts, where we've been going for 4 years, making much the same programs, sometimes better programs. I've been very lucky.